This is Matthew Cruz with the Comstock Report. The view of the EPA's action on the RFS mandate is in the eye of the beholder. The RFS mandates a 15 billion gallon corn feedstock ethanol commitment, and the EPA stuck with that level of support going forward in 2018. 15 billion gallons is mandated, but the market can demand more and should do so. The advancement of E15 availability, as well as other higher E-blend fuels with availability for more blenders pumps, along with growing exports, can and should boost ethanol consumption above the mandate. The E15 summer vapor issue needs to be settled. All the RFS mandate was meant to be is a means to prevent the oil industry from denying consumers access to ethanol with predatory market practices. The market accepts ethanol when given the opportunity to buy it. It is the cheapest octane on the market. As I have long claimed, ethanol could sell for a nickel a gallon, and the petroleum industry would not sell it unless compelled to do so. That makes the RFS a necessity. The ethanol industry competes without a subsidy. Frankly, petroleum is subsidized through the tax code. The oil industry has come to accept ethanol as a fuel additive, but hates higher ethanol blends because they cut them out of the market. The biggest portion of the RFS increase going forward was supposed to be the advance in cellulosic ethanol production. The cellulosic ethanol industry has not advanced its production capacity as quickly as RFS framers had hoped. With exceptions, it is an impractical biofuel with little benefit to farmers. The pilot projects for cellulosic ethanol production have not had universal success. There are technological and economic barriers that I think will continue to restrain this industry, so the original RFS mandate levels are unrealistic. They can't mandate use of something that doesn't exist. The federal government has dumped many millions underwriting cellulosic development, and there's no clear path ahead to make this fuel feasible. Given the market cap on ethanol demand, I would much prefer that corn ethanol fill that market. Otherwise, cellulosic ethanol competes with corn ethanol. The biodiesel industry was disappointed with the EPA proposal to leave the 2018 mandate unchanged at 2.1 billion gallons. The biodiesel industry struggles without its $1 a gallon credit, which the industry would like to see switch from blenders to producers. The EPA was concerned that the way it is now, that a higher mandate would just pull in more imports from Argentina. Blenders credits were never meant to be permanent. The continued reliance on these credits for biodiesel is concerning to me. The IRFA says that the petroleum industry pushed hard for the EPA to roll back the corn ethanol mandate, but marked the rollback in advance and cellulosic requirements as their win. It could have been worse. On the grains. Farmers are long a lot of corn, and funds surprised me by adding to shorts ahead of acreage and stocks reports, a record in soybeans, creating an extreme situation as being corrected. Funds expected the negative corn reports, and the soybean reports were less bearish than the trade anticipated. Markets are now into a weather scare off of hot, dry conditions for the Northeast Corn Belt and for the potential for areas under stress to expand this month. To date, the corn market is contained within the June trading range. Corn-soybean balance sheets are negative, but this is the time of year when balance sheets get ignored in lieu of the weather. To become more than a weather scare, December corn needs to close above the 409 June high. This will be a battle between two extremes. Funds got too short corn and farmers are still too long cash. I think that longer term that there is potential for the corn balance sheet to repair itself and bring higher prices. Typical history, though, is that farmers sell first. There is a decision to be made then whether to store old crop corn over into the next marketing year. Our local cash market has bounced back and forth in about a 30-cent price range as basis deteriorated. The top side of the range has been near 350, which frankly is not the price many hoped for when they decided to store. Given storage costs and basis deterioration, there was not much gain from storage. I think that farmers want 4 to 450 cash, which seems like a long ways away even in a weather market. There was cash corn moved on this rally. Farmers seeing new crop, drought, damage will be less likely to sell old crop. There has also been a reduced level of new crop sales of both corn and soybeans this year. They will remember that June acreage reports were not bullish when it rains and temps cool off. Crops where we live have the soil types and subsoil moisture reserves to handle the current forecast, but that is not a universal situation. Most crop observers will be downgrading yields. The yield for corn will be determined this month, and the soybean yield the following month. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.